Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll call the meeting to order. Margaret, would you be so kind to do the roll call, please?
Mayor Janice Peters.
Here.
Vice Mayor Carla Borchard.
Here.
Councilmember Noah Smuckler.
Here.
Councilmember Betty Winholz. Councilmember Rick Grantham. President Robert Enns.
Here.
Vice President Bud McHale.
Here.
Director Hal Phones.
Here.
Director Shirley Lyons.
Here.
Director Michael Foster.
Thank you, Margaret. With that, I'll open the meeting to public comment. Anyone wishing to speak on items not on the agenda may do so at this time. Please come forward to the microphone, state your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes. Did you want to, we talked to you, did you want to speak in the public comment period or at the time we discussed the...
Is that on the agenda?
Yes. We'll do it at that time then, thank you. Okay, seeing no other public comment, we'll go to item A, consent calendar. Motion would be in order to approve unless someone would like to have items pulled for separate discussion. Anyone? Seeing none, Cayucas, would you like to put forward a motion?
I so move.
Second. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mayor Peters.
Marbe.
Move to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Somebody's going home early. Old business, item B, old business, status of analysis of statements of net assets. And that report would be from our auditor. It's Bob, right?
That would be me.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So I don't know how up to date everybody is on this report, but we had kind of a combined effort between Cayucas and Morro Bay. And first I came out and did a complete reconciliation on the unrestricted net assets. And what we did, what I did, is I went back to 1993 and 94 were the last two times this amount of fund balance was allocated to the two agencies. And what we discovered was that the process was that a average flow was taken based on the quarterly reports for the year, and then we applied that to the net income for each year. And since we had a starting point back in 93, we were able to tie right into that number. Carried it forward every year. And luckily, the last year was not a very big amount. I think it was $110,000. Came out relatively, everybody looked it over. Everything looked really good as far as the allocation. So now what we're doing every year, starting with the year 2008, we're now allocating the unrestricted net assets out to the two agencies. Plus, what we're doing, based on the comments last time, is that we're not showing any cash in the district, since the cash is over at the city, Morro Bay, and we're allocating that back to Morro Bay in their due to, due from account. So I don't know if everybody got a chance to look at the latest financial statement. I don't know how long you guys want me to speak here either. Sometimes everybody's like waiting for me to get out of here so we get onto something important. But again, the other thing we also did was we did a complete analysis of the due to, due from account for each agency. Broke it down. I did it on a separate spreadsheet for each agency. And then everybody reviewed it so that everybody was clear as to what Joyce was doing as far as the allocations. And I think this is helpful. I kind of wish that we'd done this ever since I started this, just so that it would clear everybody's mind as to what was going into that account. But I think this is an important spreadsheet that we do every year now, just to make sure that everybody sees what's going on. It's been great working with Lewis. There's been a lot of dialogue, and we got Bruce involved with the analytical review. We do that anyway, but and then we came together and met, I think it was a couple times, and it's setting us up for 2009. That's almost done. That probably would have been done this last weekend, but Valentine's Day hit, and I had to take the wife out. So anyway, so any questions? I don't know if you want me to go any further in further depth to this, or
any questions, Morbe?
Not questions, but just appreciation for getting this caught up. You know, it's been years, and you've gone a number of years within a short time period, and I really appreciate that, and it's very clear, your reports.
Okay. That's what I try to do. I think I told you that the first time I did these, is to try to make my reports as clear as possible. So when I see dissension amongst the ranks, I know that there's something not quite clear. We need to be more clear. So, and that's the key to everything now, is making sure that they call it transparent. Everything's transparent. So that
any other questions from Morbe? Okay.
Okay, I'm going to hand this over to Michael Foster. Michael, you first pointed this out to us, and there is a recommendation to distribute the net income funds. There's some numbers here, 57,000. Make sure I'm right here. 57,479 to the district, 53,191 to the city. And Michael, are we on the right page there?
you could probably go on forever and not come to any better. I also appreciate your diligence on it. And I'm glad that it's clear that we're not carrying something right now. Just not carrying
forward any longer. So, yes, I'm satisfied and quite comfortable with the collaboration between Lewis and you and the city. So it's good for me.
Would you care to put forward a motion then based on this recommendation?
I accept the decision as proposed.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Morbe? This is a approval of a one-time distribution of the net income funds of $57,479 to the district and $53,191 to the city. Do I hear that motion?
I'll move that motion, Mayor.
All right. All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay, next. Thank you. Next
thank you.
Item. Wait, you can come back. I think the next item on our agenda is to accept the audits for 05-06, 06-07, and 07-08. So I would ask, are there any questions regarding those items?
Just as a notice, the Morabe has already accepted 05-06 and 06-07, so our motion will only be on 07-08.
Okay. Then we would make two separate motions, so they'll all match up. Any questions from Cayucas Board? If not, let's make a motion to accept the 05, 06, 06, and 07 first.
I so move.
I second.
All right. Well, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right, then a separate motion. I'm assuming, would you like to make one?
Sure. Can I hear a motion over here for
motion to approve 07-08 audit?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Cayucas, same motion for 07-08.
I move that we accept the fiscal year 07-08 wastewater treatment plant audits as submitted.
I second.
Motion and a second. Any questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. You got away pretty easy on that one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure working with everybody.
Thank you.
Here it is. We're okay. Okay, next item C, new business. Consideration to award a contract for engineering design and services for the new treatment plant to Montgomery, Watson, and Harza. I'm going to ask Bruce to do a brief introduction first, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. As you mentioned, this item is for the consideration to award a contract for engineering design services for the upgraded wastewater treatment plant. We put out a request for proposal for engineering services on October 1st, 2009, and we received five sealed proposals on November 5th. The firms that proposed were MWH, which is Montgomery Watson Harza, Corollo Engineers, Brown and Caldwell, CDM, and HydroScience. We distributed those proposals to a seven-person review committee that had staff from both the city and the district, as well as the district's engineer. And then we brought in the seventh person was Dennis Delzite, who was the former public works director for the city of Pismo Beach. We evaluated those proposals based on written criteria that were contained within the RFP. We sent a notice out to the three firms that we felt had the best proposals, and we invited those firms in for interviews. Based on the interviews and the written criteria, MWH was determined to have the best overall combination of factors and value for the project, based on what the review committee saw. Following the notification to MWH that they had been ranked the top firm, we sat down with them over a two-day period and negotiated a contract, or actually I should say negotiated a scope of work upon which the contract is based. The scope of work, the level of effort spreadsheet, and an hourly rate schedule are included in the staff report for your review. Following the negotiation process for the scope of work, we are able to sit down and negotiate a price and a level of effort for that project, and that came out to a value of not to exceed of $2.7 million for the design process. That takes, included in that scope of work, our project management, finalizing the facilities master plan and a project report that would be submitted to SRF for funding purposes, design services, bidding and award services once final design is achieved, and then engineering services during construction. The lion's share, about $1.7 million, almost $1.8 million of that, is actually in the design process. The rest has to do with support services for planning and permitting. Just trying to see what else I have in my staff report. We have included a contingency of 10%, which would bring total design fees to $2.97 million. The idea behind the contingencies is that it would allow the project team to keep moving forward in the event that we need to make changes during the design process, and without having to come back to the JPA and have a lengthy delay in that process, because sometimes we don't get it to you for 4 to 6 weeks. With that, I'd say just open it up for questions and see what questions people have and try and do my best to answer them.
Morro Bay, would you like to lead the way?
Okay, any questions? Noah?
Yeah, I had a couple questions just to start with. You did say in the report that you toured the top three firms, a project that they recommended of MWH's project. Which one was that? And then also the follow-up to that is, did you do a evaluation of red flag projects that especially this firm may have been involved with that we should be cognizant of as we move forward?
Actually, MWH designed the Ojai treatment plant in 1997, I believe, and it's very similar in nature to the treatment plant that we're looking at right now. It's an oxidation ditch with tertiary, it's got tertiary filtration, and it's actually a creek discharge. We did look at a lot of projects. I toured the Lompoc facility, which BNC designed, and I toured both CMC and Pismo Beach, which was a Corolla design. We had a lot of good insight from one of our consultants, Dennis Delzite, on some of the issues that he was there when they built the Pismo plant. And I know that the district engineer talked to a lot of his colleagues about the three various firms. I didn't find any red flag projects for MWH. I did see some question marks for the other two firms. And they reconciled all those. I mean, you know, it's a complex process, and they reconciled all those issues, but they were issues when the projects were being constructed and or designed.
And I think it's we discussed this a little bit before the meeting, but I think it's important for the public's knowledge. Would you discuss how the proposals were interacted with as far as the bid process and the competitive nature that was involved to a certain degree, and so the people that are watching the meeting understand how that selection was made? And I personally feel like I have some concerns there, but I thought your answer at our meeting beforehand helped to address those to make sure that we were getting the most competitive project and taking advantage of market conditions.
Yeah, the basic underlying premise of hiring professional services is you don't do it based on low bid. It's not like a construction contract. You put out a proposal and you're looking for best value in that proposal that meets, you know, your needs. And it is against the law, state law, to actually pit one against the other in the low bid process. So what we did is we went through this process and tried to determine the best project team that we could bring to the table that supported the project that we had, that in terms of MWH, I think they brought the best project vision. They had really thought out some of the nuances of what they were proposing. And then once we ranked them through the criteria process and the interview process, we sat down and refined and negotiated the scope of work that's attached to this document. That scope of work altered the ultimate fee that you're going to pay this firm, and there was a wide range of fees when we looked, or level of effort when we looked at these projects. But I think when we're all said and done, we negotiated a scope of work that will cover adequately everything we're going to encounter in the project. And I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I thought more for the public than for myself. And then as far as the contingency recommendation of 10%, which is close to $300,000, I'm personally uncomfortable with that. If we were to limit the ability to spend that without board review or approval, what would you recommend as a threshold number to give us that opportunity to have comment if we get into that contingency fund? It's a question. I don't know if there's support for that from the rest of the board or not. And you can answer me later if you want.
Yeah, I'm not. You know what? I'm not really certain. I understand the concern that you know, you don't just want to turn us loose and say, hey, here's the extra money. You can do with it as you please. But I think so far in the process, we have. It's important that we have some flexibility to make changes kind of on the fly, well thought out, with rationalization that we can bring back to the board and alert you guys, hey, this is where we're going. So I don't know. I mean, I would say, you know, at a minimum, I would think anything less than $50,000 would be overly restrictive, and I might even push for $100,000 depending on it. I'd have to get a little more input, I think, from our engineers on that before I could actually put a number on there. But really, it's designed to keep the project moving. In the event that we have unforeseen issues, we can work those issues out at staff level with the engineers. Certainly, we would bring back, you know, if we're utilizing that money, we would certainly bring that information back to you guys. But it's really designed to keep us from having that month delay in telling the engineer, hey, you can't do anything for this month until we go to the to a board meeting.
I understand that, but why would you not anticipate that? I mean, you're spending that kind of money. You've got a really well laid out timeline here. You're saying that there's going to be a surprise worth $300,000?
I'm not saying that it's going to be a surprise, but I think it, with a project of this complexity, I think you are going to have some changes that you're going to need some contingency for. I just can't see going through this process as long as we've been involved in it. There's been some twists and turns that certainly no one expected the magnitude of those twists and turns, and I would hate to see the project delayed because we can't make a decision. And Dylan can weigh in on it as well.
Yeah, I'll take the opportunity. Dylan Wade, Utilities Capital Projects Manager for the city. This is a standard contingency for an engineering contract. This is the basically the percentage that you would use typically, whether it's a $500,000 contract, a $50,000 contract, or a $50 million contract. What you'll see, though, and what you'll observe is that in the facilities master plan, the estimates that were put together had about a 30% variability in the price. The contingency was bigger at that point of the process in the facilities master plan. As we move through this, so as we move through the design process particularly, our estimates will get better and better and better as time goes along. But really, like Bruce said, the key point is that you want to have the opportunity that you don't sort of stop your process, lose your momentum, because you have some unforeseen event come up or some outside force that causes you to make some changes. And so it's just the standard amount. Of course, you guys could set that at whatever you sort of felt was appropriate or necessary. You could also condition it that it was only on the approval of both staffs of the board and the city would be another thing that you could do. So the staffs would have to hammer it out. And that would give you a further level of protection that it's not just one person, but that all the staffs agreed. That might be another option. But certainly you can do what you will with it. Just the risk is that the more you reduce that, the more likely we are to run into a problem that's going to derail the process. And we're on a tight timeline. We have a very tight time schedule that we're going to struggle to meet as it is.
Any other questions? Okay.
I think the 10% is a really prudent thing to do. I think it makes sense. And I think the rationale behind it's solid. So.
Okay. Betty, you had another comment?
Yeah, I'm not saying that 10% isn't reasonable. I'm saying the oversight of that. And with past experiences, it makes me nervous. So if the two boards or the two staffs want to agree on it, that's fine. Or if we want to reduce it to $100,000, that's fine. But I guess I'm with Mr. Smucker. I'd like to see a little bit more oversight with that.
Noah, do you have another comment?
I'd like to make a comment.
Just a minute.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Noah.
Yeah, my last question, I believe, would be to Mr. Schultz, and it's in regards to the contract and a concern that I had, and we talked again about this earlier as well, but I think it's important for the public to be aware of the city's and the board's protection of, with delays to the project, of us being on the hook to pay delay costs to any of our consultants, and how are we protected to make sure that doesn't take place as it has with other projects.
Well, there's different types of delays that can occur. There's in the contract is a time of the essence clause, which holds them for any delays that they cause, and we actually have a liquidated damage provision in there that if they cause any delays, then they're responsible for. If the delays are caused by us or by a third party, I think yours was the Coastal Commission, maybe might take time in the permit process, we can put them on hold. I mean, they are an hourly contract rate, and I think the analogy we use with our EIR right now has been on hold because of the floodplain stuff. So we can put them on hold, and we wouldn't be responsible for any of their delayed damages caused. Different scenario than you mentioned about the roundabout, which is a construction contract. If delays occur during construction, then you could be responsible for that startup time or home office overhead time. But this case, we're okay. If it's delayed by a third party outside our control, we wouldn't have any extra amount that we'd be responsible to the consultant for.
My last question is to Bruce. In the discussions, did they have any job positions available at the $240 an hour that I could apply for?
Well, I think if you're a PE with probably 30 years of wastewater design experience, you'd probably get a job.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and I think that rate was, what, 240, 270 an hour? Michael, you had a question?
Yeah, I guess I'm still a little confused at You described the selection process as not based on dollars, but based on, you know, who brought in the vision that you thought could do the job that we need. So basically, we've asked them to come in with their design proposal. I don't understand what the contingency is. I mean, it seems to me that defeats the purpose of the not-to-exceed clause in the contract.
The contingency is actually a staff request. It wasn't a request of the consultant. That wouldn't be available to them unless staff felt that there were significant portions of work outside of their scope of work. And the thought is let's say as we go through this process, right now we're anticipating getting an SRF loan. Let's say perchance that SRF changes their criteria substantially in the upcoming year. Then we would want the ability as a staff to say that there is scope of work that's outside of our negotiated scope, and that contingency is there to cover those tasks as they would arise. So it's not available to the consultant. This isn't an award to them for that amount. Their contract will be for the 2.7. The contingency will be available to staff to award to them as things change or move around. So if we encounter work that's outside of their scope.
But their scope is to design the project, right?
Yeah, their scope's to design the project. There's nothing specifically that we think we're going to need that for at this point. The concern is that some internal or external factor changes the scope of work significantly. Let's say that SRF requires a review that we didn't anticipate. That would be one of those circumstances where staff then would basically recognize to the consultant that they're performing work outside of their scope of services, and then we would authorize them to proceed with that work without having to come before you.
Thank you, Dylan.
You're welcome.
I'd like to clarify there. Will be the motion that we're going to make, I'm assuming, is that we will award this contract for $2.7 million. It's a not to exceed. The $300,000 is something that we budget for over here on the side, just so we know that we might need that money. That we're not going to sign a contract that's for $2.97. We're signing one that's for $2.7.
Okay. And my other concern, and I support your judgment on the hiring of the design engineers, but what my concern is, at what point do they interface with the Coastal Commission, people like that could potentially derail the project? I mean, where do we find out? We don't want to get $2.7 million into this thing only to find out that the design doesn't work. What responsibility do they have?
I'd be happy to try and answer this by the City of Morro Bay, and the final environmental impact report is certified. And at that point, then we go to design. So all the discretionary approvals are over. So the design phase that these folks are talking about in terms of contingencies, most of that stuff I would expect to be coming into the design phase, which is at the conclusion of the discretionary review process.
Okay. So we don't start designing this till we're
relatively sure to go.
There will be some other designs that are going, but not for structures on the ground because we don't have those permits yet.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to ask for comment from Hal Phones. Hal, you've said that you've had the opportunity in the past to work with this firm, and you had some very good things to say about them.
Yes, thank you. I worked with Montgomery Watson. I'm not familiar with the Harza group that joined them, but I've had very good luck, very good success, I should say. It hasn't been luck. They are a skilled group of professionals that have delivered a good product as far as I'm concerned. I expanded a water treatment plant down south. Went from 12 million gallons a day to 30 million gallons a day, and they were the engineers managing the construction. And they got it all done with a very small change order. In fact, less than 1%, which surprised the heck out of me. I'm not used to that.
Thank you, Hal. Any other questions from Morbay? What I'd like to do now is see if there's anyone from the public that would like to comment. So if you're ready, I'll open it to public comment. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. My name is Piper Riley. I'm from Los Osos. Clean water costs money. Dirty water costs more. That's a tagline from an educational campaign that the Surfrider is doing called Know Your H2O, and it's a credo that your board should consider. The last time I spoke before your board, I was chided by one of your members that I had no right to be here because I am from Los Osos. As a matter of fact, I am from Los Osos, and I am the mother of four children who potentially will each be spending 4 years apiece at Morro Bay High. That's 16 years of being within close proximity of your proposed facility. Also, as a matter of fact, it is the conclusion of Dr. Kitts that a tiny fraction of the pollution in the bay is coming from Los Osos septics, and that it's a fact that the overall water quality from Oceano to Cayucas is poor. All of these pollutants are not coming from Los Osos. With all likelihood, much of it is coming from leaking conventionally gravity sewer systems, the type that Montgomery Watson Harza builds. These unsealed deep trench systems are problematic in our earthquake-prone sandy soils. After the North Ridge earthquake, it took more than 14 years to repair the gravity system, but less than a year to fix the low-pressure water pipes. For environmental protection, as well as economic reasons, low-pressure systems are much more forgiving, and the effluent is delivered more reliably to the treatment facility. There are few places left on Earth where water quantity and quality. Instead, you are literally thinking within a box. You are not being protective of the environment as you could be, and if you choose Montgomery Watson Harza, you will be working with a very costly company who is under investigation for questionable business practices in multiple states. There are less expensive green options available for the protection of the environment and society. Why would you not use them? I hope you would reconsider your options as they clearly seem to be short-sighted and potentially detrimental to all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing, and I have had about 11 years experience studying wastewater approaches. And Montgomery Watson, I am also from Los Osos, by the way, so if you want to ban me, this is the time before I get anything else out. Okay, so about 15,000 hours of study of documents, other engineerings, other technologies. And what I notice in this meeting tonight is you're considering a design proposal for upgrading your wastewater project. And from what I've heard, it's going to cost the ratepayers about $52 after it's all done, and the project comes in at bid. I assume that there's going to be a bid for the cost of the project and the actual doing the work. And so what I'm seeing is an approach that you're taking is kind of like piecemeal. You're going to just look at the design, and then they're going to tell you how much it's going to cost, and then you're going to have to deal with what's left over, which is a leaking collection system, which has been polluting your aquifer and the bay for a long time. So you have this collection issue that's not addressed here, as I see it. I could be wrong. Please correct me. And the other issue that you have is that you have the reuse issue of, are you going to put sewer effluent, and I'm happy for a tertiary treatment, but in all honesty, tertiary treatment is really not the end-all solution to pollution. Because if you look at what the constituents are in tertiary treated sewer effluent, you'll see that there's mutagens, there's carcinogens, there's endocrine disruptors, and these are nano-sized particles that are really difficult to remove. And it would take, what Orange County did was advanced oxidation technology, which puts in a hydroxyl in the water, and it breaks the bond of the endocrine disruptors and those other chemicals. And when they discovered, after they did all the work like you're talking about now in Orange County with Water Factory 1, they still had dioxin 4, which is an agricultural pesticide. And so in order to achieve that, they had to use the hydroxyl method, which was successful. And then they were able to reuse all that water in Orange County to recharge their aquifer and build a saltwater barrier that really doesn't address all of the challenges in your wastewater project. So you usually consider treatment, collection, and disposal. And nowadays, people are thinking, well, water is a resource that needs to be not wasted, but to be reused. And I talked to Mr. Enns before the meeting. He said that it might be $5,000 an acre foot to do that. And that seems really high to me. So I would ask that you would look at this. And remember, you're sharing the bay with Los Osos and all the other people, the oyster users, the oyster growers, and all of that. So you still have the issue of the leaky sewer system, and you have a horrible groundwater quality that you need to address. And I thank you very much for giving me that time.
Thank you. Thank you, Al. Next.
Good evening. Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay resident. I didn't see any papers here that show which design, what we're doing, what you're doing, what you're asking to be designed here, and I was wondering if someone has a picture or something like that, maybe from the last meeting. Is that what you're going off of? The meeting 6 weeks ago, the box up there.
I believe the design that we're looking at is in the facilities master plan book. Is that right, Bruce?
Yeah, and that is available online at the city website if you want to download it.
Okay, I'd appreciate, I think the people at home too, if you guys could bring some visual aids to these meetings so that folks have a chance to take a look at what we're actually talking about here. I want to thank the people from Los Osos that came over today, and they have, that community has a long history, as you know, and with wastewater problems and sewers and not sewers and this and that and politics and fighting communities. And I think in Morro Bay, the only thing I can think of why more Morro Bay people aren't here and involved in this discussion about our wastewater treatment is that they've been intimidated. Nobody wants to be like Los Osos. And one of the things in particular that people think is that they're the bad ones. Los Osos is so bad. Well, it's as more real studies are being done, coming to find out that the Los Osos septic systems in persons' homes isn't the cause, the major cause of nitrate pollution in their water. They have sandy soil. Septic trickles through. Morro Bay, we don't have so much sandy soil. What we have in Morro Bay is big pipes, and we have dilapidated infrastructure that is probably leaking 1 million gallons a day of raw sewage into straight soil. I find it appalling that this city and CSD started out this whole process. You get a degree, you get a lot of money, but the common sense seems to go out the window. I'm very, very distraught with this, and choosing Montgomery, Watson, and Harzer, as far as the question about are they red flagged, I think maybe Mr. Keogh should do some more homework on that. Just last week, there was a major sewer fraud indictment in New Orleans, and Montgomery, Watson, and Harza is one of two contractors that received very, very lucrative contracts that are involved in this sewer fraud. There are other states where Montgomery, Watson, and Harza is in trouble. In Los Osos, they were the ones that were going to build the Tri-W site, and I think Mr. Wade, our capital improvement manager, came to work for Morro Bay after the Tri-W site didn't go forward. And one of the things I remember right off the bat was $6 million of a state revolving fund that was released 27 days before a recall. And the new board wanted to have an accounting of where that money went from Montgomery, Watson, and Harza. Montgomery, Watson, and Harza had a break-in to their facility. All their computers and all their records were gone. I don't know why we're shaking hands with these people. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Fred Collins. I'm tribal administrator for the Northern Chumash Tribal Council. I'm here on behalf of the Chumash people in San Luis Obispo County. I don't speak for them all, but I speak for a good portion of them. The Chumash people are the first people. Our land is from Malibu all the way to Ragged Point, over 7,000 square miles. We've been here for over 10,000 years. Our land is very precious to us, and the ancestors can't speak for themselves, so that's our job. We were formed under Senate Bill 18, which was signed into living life by Arnold Schwarzenegger, March 5th, 2005. Underneath that bill, we engage in meaningful consultation with local government agencies and different agencies in our territory. And we do this consistently. We work very closely with Bruce Ambrose, City of Morro Bay. We have a process that we are involved in. Northern Chumash Tribal Council stays out of the area picking which system that you're going to go for, although the environmental concerns are very important to us. The outcome of this project is very important to us, air quality, water quality, animal, and the Native American cultural resources. But we stay focused on one thing. We stay focused on the cultural resources, and we have faith in the process. We've been talking, like again, with Bruce Ambrose, Rob Schultz, city attorney, and we want to do this in a good way. Monitoring a project like this is not what we look at as, it doesn't have anything to do with CEQA. What we want to do is learn something. And in CEQA, it says that monitoring is not mitigation. Mitigation is planning. Mitigation is avoiding. Mitigation is working with the Native people in a good way to make this project come forward. I know there's a lot of concerns from a lot of the different communities. We're heavily engaged with Public Works, County of San Luis Obispo. And the process that we're going through is one that will filter down to all of the cities and all of the different agencies. So we're confident at this point in time with the process. We're confident that the city and the community service district has looked at all of the different possibilities. And we're going to have faith in you that you're going to do the right thing. So we're going to support the City of Morro Bay in this process and the Community Services District. And we look forward to working with you very closely on this project to make sure that our cultural resources are protected and the environment is protected. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for the positive way you presented that. Mr. Klassen, did you have any comments you'd like to make?
No.
Have we kept you informed the way we promised? Thank you. With that, I'm going to bring it back to the table here. Morro Bay, would you like to comment first?
Comments on the contract? Anybody?
I have three, two that were raised by the public. If someone could respond to the comments about a method for this hydroxyl thing where we can take out other kinds of minutia, the endodisruptors, the toxin type things. Is that being considered in our scope of work? Is that one of those things that's going to come back to us? How does that fit into this project?
The short answer is it's not currently anticipated in the scope of work and probably doesn't come back unless you request it. There are, as you look at and talk about endocrine disruptors and emergent contaminants, really the industry is sort of reeling with how do you deal with these things. We can now detect them in parts per trillion, which is like throwing an aspirin into 30 Olympic swimming pools. You can find it. And that's a fairly recent sort of development, but there's very limited sort of technologies available for treatment. When you're talking about water treatment, there are some advanced oxidation technologies that are used. That's not an end-all be-all either, in that a lot of these materials, as you break them down, the metabolites are worse than the material you started up with. So really it's one of those things that the jury's still out on it. And we wouldn't recommend at this point in time adding that to this process and trying to basically destroy those things through intensive energy or chemical usage, because really, the jury's really not out yet. There's no kind of requirements from our state or regional board. The ocean plan doesn't have aquifer. We have no way of, it's basically how much flow is coming through that aquifer, whether we have saltwater intrusion or not. And we've actually adopted a different strategy from a water supply perspective in that we've set up our treatment to cope with saltwater intrusion. So we've actually put in brackish treatment so that when that does occur, we can still treat for it. So we've adopted sort of an alternate strategy for dealing with that. But I am familiar with their project. They've got a lot of time, money, and effort into that, and certainly the industry is kind of following their lead. And looking to them, some great research has come out of their work.
The second question the public brought up was about this particular company's reputation in other states. I understand that you researched it here. Does anyone have a comment about that?
No, at this point, I don't know about those other incidents, so I can't answer that question.
We're still going to end up with something there that we've got to get rid of. We're not putting it in a rocket and sending it anywhere. Where's that go?
That's the issue. I think that's a very sort of wonderful point to bring up, is that as you get into a real project and stop talking about theoretical and start talking about actual, you're always making trade-offs. And so you go, we can run all of our effluent through an RO membrane. What that costs us, though, is that's tremendous energy usage. So what we'll do is we'll concentrate those things and put them into a different waste stream. And then that's precisely the right question. Okay, so now that we've concentrated, it's not going out directly with our discharge. What do we do with it? And you go, well, maybe we dry it and send it to a landfill. I'm not sure that it doesn't eventually wind up back in the cycle at some point anyways. Maybe we combust it and send it into the air. But that also has other problems. And maybe we oxidize it using these advanced treatment technologies and break those down, but some of those metabolites are worse than the materials you started with. And so you go, as you look to do this project, you go, there are always, every benefit has a cost associated with it. And the cost for higher and higher levels of treatment is more and more energy usage. And in the long run, that actually may be more damaging to our nearshore environment than having a discharge that isn't as clean as possible. You'd have to look at sort of acidification of the ocean and what that does and balance those things. So what we are doing, though, is that we're going through the IR process. And that process is a legal process that sort of outlines the things that we have to look at. And so we have to look at and address air pollution. We have to look at and address water quality. We have to look at and address local traffic impacts. And you basically, we're trusting that process, which the community can participate in and provide comment in, it's designed to be a very open process. And in theory, what we're doing through going through this process is we're basically opening the door and say, everybody, bring your best ideas, and if we've missed something, we'll address it. And we'll change accordingly if something new surfaces. But until then, we kind of have to plug.
There were some good ideas that were brought forward that would modernize this plant that we're building rather than be a equivalent of a 12-year-old plant down in Ojai. Now, it seems to me that we would want a more up-to-date plant than a 12-year-old plant that's down in Ojai, and that we should look at some of these more modern techniques that were suggested by the company we're talking about hiring. And that kind of scope of work should be up to this board if we want to do that, rather than as staff may see it come along. Not that staff aren't expert, but we're the ones that are spending the public's money, and that we're the ones that are deciding what's worthwhile and what we're willing to put into it. So I guess I'm having a concern about who's deciding the scope of work and if it's at the appropriate level. And therefore, I guess I would be in favor of some kind of limit on the amount of money that's spent and that scope come back to us if we're not going to decide tonight to change the scope of work. My second, I guess, auxiliary point to that is that if we're designing something along with the environmental process, how can we design something that we know is going to end up before a review and more than likely end up at the Coastal Commission and be thrown back at us? And so I'm wondering if we're not putting the cart before the horse and that we should not be going to the design yet, that we need to see what comes out of this environmental review, if we can get through the city's planning commission, if we can get through an appeal to the city council, which I'm not sure if that's appropriate, and if we then go through an appeal to the Coastal Commission. So we don't spend the money on the design now, but we wait and see to make sure we have the permit so we can go forward with the design.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I would like to say that I wholeheartedly agree with your comments there, and I'm very concerned that we have that we've limited the scope of this project, and especially that there are not any Title 22 elements to what we're asking this firm to evaluate for us. I think that is limiting the quality of the work that they're going to bring to us, and will down the road cost us more money as we try to build that back into the project. It doesn't make much sense to me to not be having that as an element of the discussion at this level. And I think that's more of a responsibility of our board, not the city staff. And so I think that's something that we've lacked as a board. So I'm concerned about that, and I am concerned about delays and the Coastal Commission's future action as well. So I would like to see some more proactivity on the front end to make sure that we're getting feedback from a body that is obviously going to impact our project. So at this point, I can't vote to authorize this action tonight. Because of the discomfort that I have with those two issues.
Other comments? Okay, the only thing I'm going to say is that it's all very well to say we want to put this through the process, but we don't have anything to put through yet. This is a contract to design a project. That project then will be evaluated. You can't evaluate something that hasn't been designed yet.
But we have developed a concept that is so strong that when a firm that we've asked for proposals proposes something alternatively to
this plan. So I think that we're rushing this and we're setting ourselves up.
Mr. Schultz, can you respond to that, or Mr. Ambo, can you respond to the process and what comes first?
Well, again, Bruce Ambo, Public Services Director. The Coastal Commission was notified when we did the notice of preparation on this, and what they said was adhere to all your policies in the existing certified local coastal program that we have. So, again, their approval or denial is not required because we have a certified local coastal program that they certified. So, yes, it's in the appeals jurisdiction. But let me remind you, the process of an environmental impact report is first and foremost a public disclosure process. It's a document that says this is what the project is and solicits public input and involvement. And then through that process, the purpose is to reduce, eliminate, and mitigate impacts to an insignificant or an avoidable level. So we use the process to define the environmentally benign or beneficial project. And again, if you step back and look at this, we're not having an impact to begin with on the project, okay? The existing, this is a replacement plant for an existing treatment plant that exists, an existing collection system that's in place. So what we feel we're doing is going to a higher level of environmental protection, if you will. And in fact, what we have said, what we will say, and what we will continue to say is the Pope's project environment will be more environmentally benign than the pre-project environment. So to a certain extent, it is our strong position that this project is in itself a form of environmental mitigation, in and of itself.
Thank you.
Thanks.
But Mr. Ambo, doesn't the fact that we're not modifying the old project and actually building a brand new plant change that? That we're, because we're having to move the plant, we're getting a whole new plant, it's not an old plant that's being modified. Will that be looked upon differently?
Well, it may, but we're also addressing the potential for flooding impacts. With the plant in its former location, there were flooding impacts to the other properties in the area that were, in fact, being increased by this project that will be ameliorated when this project is shifted out of the flood path. So, again, from a flooding standpoint, the post-project environment will be more environmentally benign than the pre-project environment.
And I hear you, and that's a single item within the bigger picture.
Well, that's, but I think that's the concept of shifting the project. Mm-hmm. So that we used, well, it's a good example. We used right. This environmental review process to help mitigate and reduce the level of impact.
Right. And that takes care of that issue, but we're still building a new plant that may have different review level because it's not the old plant.
And that's the process that we would like to embark on so that we can use that process to define a better project.
And so shouldn't that go through the Coastal Commission first so we don't get in trouble with them later as on appeal?
Well, we're not if their approval is not required. Just to remind you where this is, it goes to a it's in the PDs and that you're going to be seeing. It's a great question because that's the concept plan that we will be looking at, the look at the project, the layout, and everything that we're going to key or gauge the impact analysis to is forthcoming when you adopt your final project report and final facility master plan, which is, again, 12 weeks from now, from the date we issue this design contract, the notice to proceed. So we're expecting that to occur in June. At that point, we will see the project that we are seeking permits on and then gauging the impacts off that project as defined and designed.
So the new company is working on the concept plan, not just the precise plan?
They will if we award them this contract, yes.
Okay. Cayucas.
Okay, any particular questions from Cayucas?
Dylan. Could you comment on this oxidation ditch leakage that was brought up in public comment?
I don't believe the reference in public comment was to the oxidation ditch. What I believe they're referring to, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's actually referring more to our collection system. So the concern is that the individuals have raised is that our collection systems are leaking sewage into the environment. And that's we're not here tonight to sort of analyze the collection system. Under certain hydraulic conditions, it's fair to say that that can happen. So extreme rain events, high loadings, high water pressures, certainly the type of sewer system that we have, a gravity sewer system, that could occur. Under normal operating conditions, we don't believe that that happens very routinely. And there's been some studies that have shown that that doesn't happen under normal operating conditions. There's sort of a self-sealing nature to the effluent. So I'd be happy to talk about it. We could talk about it as much as you guys want to, but it really isn't germane to the discussion tonight, in that we're not proposing modification, addition, or alteration to our collection system as part of this project.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Bruce, I just have one question. Would you just kind of review who was on your board that went through this process to select our...
Yeah, there were seven individuals involved. There was myself, Mr. Wade, the capital projects coordinator for the city engineer Rob Livick, Bruce Ambo sat in on the discussions, Bill Callahan, the general manager for the district, and then John Hanlon, the district's engineer. And then the seventh person I mentioned earlier is Dennis Delzite, and Dennis is the former public works director for the city of Pismo Beach and was very involved in the recent upgrade to the Pismo plant, so we thought he would bring in a lot of good insight and information to us.
Bruce, if I may, did you check with other agencies who had been under contract with our MWH organization to find out the level of satisfaction for their services?
I wanted to see how they looked when we went down there. And I tried to go to a plant that each of the top three firms had designed just to walk around and see it and see how it performed.
But did you look at what the last project is that they've done to just see if the level of technology is different from say Ojai or what they were doing 12 years ago?
No, I didn't look at other projects. They believe they listed some other references, and off the top of my head, I can't give them to you right now. But no, I was more interested in looking at plants that would be similar in design to the ones that the council and the board had approved.
Isn't that what we're letting this contract for, is the design?
The RFP is based on the work that's been done over the past several years in coming up with the facilities master plan and actually coming up with a conceptual concept, which when it was put to vote, both the city and the district approved of an oxidation ditch technology style treatment facility. They had looked at others. They looked at an MBR, and they looked at a treatment technology similar to what we're using right now, and the ditch was selected the preferred treatment technology, and that is what we're tasking them with designing.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the Cayucas board? I would like to thank the board that spent the time reviewing and selecting this person, and as much as many of them are in the audience tonight, thank you, gentlemen, and Bruce. And also like to thank Bruce for taking time out last Wednesday evening and coming to Cayucas, briefing us on this, bringing us up to date so we didn't waste a lot of time this evening. Thank you, Bruce. With that, I would ask for a motion from Cayucas to approve a contract to Montgomery, Watson, and Harza for a not-to-exceed value of $2.7 million and for us to budget an additional 10% as a budget item only.
I'm sorry, could you say what percent?
10%.
10%?
I second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay. Similar motion for Morro Bay.
I'd like to make a motion with an amendment to see if Cayucas would go with it, and that is to approve the contract, but to say that that 10%, or that if we reach $100,000, that this, it has to come back to this board for approval. I think that it's important that the board be responsible and direct the scope of work.
Do I hear a second for that motion? Okay, may I hear it? May I hear another motion then?
I'll make a motion. We approve the award contract for the engineering design services to Montgomery, Watson, and Harza. Also, for a not to exceed $2.7 with the separate.
You budget money for an item that's more than $10,000. For instance, when we do capital projects at the plant, if it's a $50,000 item, you approve that item, and then we have the flexibility to spend up to that $50,000. In this case, I'm not sure where we'd go with that, but I'm assuming you're going to give us some leash and let us go with the $100,000 with the understanding that we would bring that information back to the boards.
Does that satisfy your concerns, Betty?
No, that's $270,000 you're giving them a leash on, not $100,000.
Well, I wasn't clear in my I think if you wanted to set a spending cap, and I think that's what Mr. Enns is getting at, that if you said, hey, if you're going to spend more than $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever magic number the board decides, then we would have the flexibility to spend up to that amount, and anything above that would require approval of the board and council. I think that's maybe what Mr. Enns was getting at.
Are we interested in setting a threshold on that?
Yes.
That was their amendment.
No, we're okay. We've budgeted the 10%. We're talking about how to control it now. So I'm looking to possibly make a second motion about controlling the 10% money. Tim, you moved up to the front row. Did you have a suggestion?
Might I make a recommendation?
Sure.
A common practice on projects like this is to provide you guys with a progress report. So a very easy thing we could do is provide, in Bruce's monthly updates, we could give a monthly progress report on the status of this project and include in there what, if any, of the contingency that we've encumbered or anticipate encumbering or what problems we have. So that would be one alternative. But you guys are free to choose sort of any course or path that you might like.
Again, if you want to establish limits, this is the time to do it. At this point, that money's available, been budgeted, and can be applied by staff. And one additional clarification while I'm up here bothering you. If you could authorize staff to make minor modifications to the agreement, it hasn't been finalized yet, although the city attorney and I have agreed on what the contract should say. MWH hasn't, so it's likely to be tweaked a little bit, and if you could separately by motion authorize staff to make minor modifications to the agreement subject to the approval of both the city attorney and the district council, that would expedite negotiations and eliminate having to come back were there any changes to the agreement.
Okay, could we address that first? It seems simpler. Morro Bay, would you like to make a motion to that effect? And Rob, are you okay there?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I hear a motion from Morro Bay.
Move to approve authorization of minor modifications for the attorneys of the district and City of Morro Bay to make for the contract.
There a second?
I'd like to know what minor means.
Well, it said approved by both attorneys.
And that's what
so
definition of minor?
There's no other way they can give it to us. I think we have to trust our attorneys to represent our interests.
Yeah, we're not talking about the amount of money. We're talking about the words in the contract.
...of other affirmative actions. Standard clause, they don't want to have those penalties in there on top of what the state would also give them a penalty. They feel like that was double-dipping. If they were to violate discrimination, state law would step in. They would fine them. We still have the ability to cancel the contract if they were to do that, but felt it was double dipping. That's one that we've agreed to take out, but it's still in your language there. It doesn't affect the terms and conditions whatsoever of the contract. One was a hazmat materials. They want to say that they have no knowledge of any hazmat materials out there, and that we recognize that they're not responsible for any of the hazmat materials. I think that's a given. So they are very minor stuff that we are working on with them. What else was there? The assignment, they wanted language in there just about utilizing their subsidiaries if there was any as a subcontractor that they could use that, and that wouldn't be an assignment of the contract. So very minor changes. We're still working on that language, but it isn't anything substantive as to that will alter anything that would be noticeable by either one of the board or the city council.
So they'll be using their own people rather than local people? Is that what that means, that last part?
And for the assignment of it, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could I ask you, is it in violation of the law to have conditions in terms of preferential hiring for people or material suppliers within the boundaries of the JPA?
We just passed a local vendor. That would go more towards the construction contract, but we actually have in the city of Morro Bay a local vendor preference where we do give vendor preference if they are within the area.
Okay. So. Okay, we have a motion on the table. Any more discussion?
And just to clarify that, those boundaries are extended to Cayucas and Los Osos.
Good point.
Thank you. But also to clarify, that at this point would have no bearing on this contract. Yeah. Is it possible to do that?
I believe, didn't he say that there was no one qualified in our community to?
I don't think any of the companies that responded were local because of the nature of this contract is just too big for them to do.
But as we get further into the project, we can build that in.
Could you stipulate that if they have to bring on additional staff, they'd give preferential hiring to people that reside in this district?
Preferences are a very liability-ridden area of the law, and you have to make some very, very stringent findings to distinguish the reasons why you're establishing preferences. And in this context, it would be very difficult to do, but I know staff will now pay close attention to the issue and see if we can figure out a way to get
there.
That's
why I asked the question. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Any more discussion?
Would you repeat the motion, please?
Carla, you made the motion.
Was it about money? No, it was approving, moving to approve the change, allowing the city attorney and district attorney, yes, to approve minor modifications to the contract.
Right.
And I second.
Right. All right. All in favor?
$1,000 as the limit. That's about 2% of contract costs. So if we have a contingency that would exceed 2%, actually 2% would be $54,000. But if you set $50,000, I'm certain we can work around it.
Okay, so what you're saying is if it's over 2%, we'd have a meeting and discuss it?
Yeah, I think we could easily set a limit of $50,000 and say if we're going to have a change of that magnitude, we'll bring that back to the boards.
Okay, and don't we have a provision in our JPA that says we can call an emergency meeting within 2 days or 3 days or something? Is that it, Tim? 1 day. So
if you have a miracle worker to do the scheduling.
What I want to point out is that quite often in these types of things, the contractor needs an answer immediately, needs to proceed, and we will not be able to say, well, we're having a meeting in June. We'll put it on our agenda. So keep in mind that when we say we want to do this, then we need to be responsible and show up on the day the guy needs it to make the decision to keep Bruce moving with the project. So any comments from Cayucas on the, let's call it a 2%? Is that in there, Bruce, the 2% already?
We already did the 10%.
No. We're asking for notification and a decision by these two bodies if the changes, the spending of the 10%, any spending within there is over 2%, over $52,000.
So 50 per event or per 52 issue?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think it would be 50,000 would be the limit. So if it was going to be more than 50,000, we would come back to the boards to say, hey, here's, we need you to authorize expending these funds. And anything less than that, we would keep you updated in a monthly progress report or in some fashion to let you know how we're doing on that contingency fund and how the contract's proceeding.
Are you talking about 50,000 in the aggregate or one event that's going to cost 50,000 or when it exceeds 50,000?
I'm thinking one event. And I'm thinking if they come in and it's a $4,000 item for whatever, that we just go, hey, make it happen. And then we would keep you apprised of that in some sort of progress report in a regular fashion. And if it comes to more than 50,000, we would bring it back to the boards.
Okay. I'm quite comfortable with that. Would you like to make a motion on your side?
Okay. I'll move it if any of the contingency items come back at over 50,000, it is brought back to the board and the council for approval.
Second.
Okay, second to Noah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. None.
Cayucas, let's look for the same motion, please.
I personally believe it's more oversight than is actually needed of our staffs, of whom I have great confidence. However, I will make the motion that that Morro Bay just made.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. With that, I'd like to thank everyone who participated and helped us get through this. Bruce, especially you and your review board, very impressed.
Oh, we need to talk about next meeting?
Yeah. Well, Bruce wants to make a comment first.
Well, that was going to bring up the next, but sometimes having a regular set date so everybody's kind of on the same page, and if we do need, I mean, I can anticipate when we're doing the project report and some of the preliminary design, if we have conceptual stuff we need to bring back to you guys, it would be nice to be able to do that in a timely fashion.
Yeah, at one time we had, I believe, the third Thursday of the month right. was kind of our regular thing, if that's what I would propose.
Would you be willing to consider the second Thursday?
Sure.
The second Thursday would be good because I know we have Chamber of Commerce events a lot of times the third Thursday.
That's true.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Any other comments? That?
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I'd be more comfortable having the opportunity to be updated on a monthly basis than on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, and we'll try and, I mean, sometimes meeting for meeting's sake takes a lot of time and effort from both the council and the board, because I know at least our council has a lot of meetings on their plate, but we will try and keep. Certainly, we can issue some sort of monthly update or something. I can start getting in the habit, even if I circulate it through Bill at the sanitary district. But we'll try and bring tangible items back to those meetings, so that, you know, if we can skip a meeting one month, we'll try and do that. But if we need you, it's always nice to know that we can pinpoint that day.
Quick question, Bob Lloyd, do you have any idea, is that a conflict on any other meetings that AGP is working on? Okay, thank you. Just want to make sure, because you're kind of vital to us having the meeting. Yes, Rob.
I'm confused on what day we pick.
Second Thursday of every month.
And Bruce, just to confirm, in the absence of a meeting or cancellation of those meetings, you would be able to provide via electronic distribution an update.
Definitely. We'll try and get it out far enough in advance. I mean, we'll try and kind of cast the net out so that we can give everybody, you know, what dates we really think we're going to need you on, and if we can let you off a month, we'll give you plenty of advance notice.
And then in replacing that meeting, you'd provide an update of for the month electronically, just giving us a heads up on what is occurring.
Yeah, we'll try and keep everybody informed on a monthly basis.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, right. So for Morro Bay, I make a motion that we schedule regular meetings on the second Thursday of each month throughout this next year. It's coming here. Second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Cayucas agreeable there?
What's that?
We schedule a regular meeting on the second Thursday of every month for the... Well, it's primarily based on updating and...
Does a different Thursday work for you, like the last one of the month, or... Would that, does that work for anybody? The last Thursday of the month?
Anybody, what happens? Question was, what happened with the third Thursday?
We just had multiple meetings.
That's the chamber.
Well, right, that's true. Ah, okay,
well,
so we don't have the
Wednesday?
Third Thursday. Second Thursday? And that's out too, right? Second Thursday, is that out for?
Thursdays are great for me.
How about the second Thursday?
We had trouble with this.
Ms. Lyon.
Yeah, we were.
Oh, that's where we started. Key. Is that anything that you can possibly move, Shirley?
Okay, Shirley, would you help us and make a motion for the second, third? Yeah, just for fun.
I make a motion that we set the regular JPA meeting on the second Thursday of each month.
Thank you, Shirley.
At 6 o'clock?
6 p.m.
What, 5?
Well, that'd be a separate motion. Thank you.
Never mind.
Do I have a second? Hal, did you say second? Oh, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay, Michael with the second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I think we're good with that. I think we can adjourn the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for a good job this evening.